That's a great song. I hope you heard the words of it. Jesus was broken and spilled out for you. Hope everyone in this room understands. There's religion. There's Christianity. All the religions of the world say, do this, do that, and maybe you'll get to heaven. Christianity says, from the great God of heaven, I love you. He knows everybody's name in this room. He said, I'm going to send my son, my only son, to pay your debt of sin so you can come be with me. Broken and spilled out. If you have your Bible, you're going to pick up in the story after the body of Christ was taken off the cross, was put into the tomb, and all the disciples' dreams were lost. The disciples were broken. Can you imagine Peter and James and John that had given up their fishing vessels and their father's business and had trusted that Jesus was the new Messiah and that he was going to set up a kingdom and they were going to rule and reign with him? And they watched him crucified. All was lost. Do you understand the price that Jesus paid for every individual in this room? Do you understand? Let me just take just a minute. Let me look around the room here. Selena, Jesus died just for you. Emily, the great God of heaven died just for you. Let that sink in for a minute. Jesus Christ died for you. And if you would have been in this day, there were thousands upon thousands had watched him do miracles. Perhaps 25, 30,000 were on the mountainside when he fed them all in the evening out of a small lunch. The disciples saw that. I don't know that all the other people saw it, but the disciples watched him take that lunch and here you take this basket and you take this basket and they watched the basket fill up from with bottom, from within. They said, how did he do that? They took it, they fed hundreds of people and came back and he did it again and he did it again and he did it again until all 5,000 men had eaten plus women and children. Then he did it again with the 4,000. You would have thought these men would have been the men of greatest faith and trust in all the world in Jesus Christ. But when they saw him die, they lost all hope. They had, I want you to see, number one, they had great privilege. They were with Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John, whenever he was in the boat, and a storm came up. He's asleep in the hull of the ship. They go down and wake him up. When the boat fills up with water, it said, Jesus, we're sinking. Don't you care that we're about to perish? And Jesus gets up. Peace to the wind. Be still to the water. And the Bible says there was a great calm. They looked at one another and said, he controls the wind and the sea. Wow, what a God. And he knows me. He calls me by name on a daily basis. Wow. You read in John 11, Jesus said to the disciples, Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is sleeping. Going to sleep. He's sick. And they said, well, you know, We'll go see how he's doing. And Jesus waited another few days. And then Jesus said, he's asleep. And they said, well, that's good if he's asleep. said, no, Lazarus is dead. They said, oh, man. They knew how much you loved Lazarus. And they walked with him. And if you read John 11, you'll find that one of them that spoke up and said, let us go and die with him was a man named Thomas. Now, Thomas, I'm going to take just a minute. Name for me one word when I mention the word. What word hits your mind when I mention the word Moses? What word hits your mind? Pardon me? Meekness. Okay, what about Daniel? What? Faithful. Okay. What about Thomas? Doubter? How many of you like to be known for that? There goes John Manchesky, the doubter. That's good. There's John Manchesky all over. There's the doubter. There's the doubter. Right there he is. There's the doubter. How would you like to have that name? See somebody walk through and, yeah, hey, he's a good guy, but he doubts everything. Wow. How'd you like to have the name? And to have it written in Scripture for all the world. We get into heaven. Hi, I'm Thomas. Oh, you're the, no. Wait a minute. Oh, that's over. I want you to understand, he was there when Jesus walked up to Martha and Mary and said, you know, he's going to live again. They said, we know in the resurrection, Martha said he's going to live again. And Jesus, no, wait a minute. He goes out to the graveside. Where is it? And they show him the sepulcher. And he says, Lazarus. And it's been stated in a lot of the commentaries. If he hadn't have called his name, everybody would come out of all the graves. Wow, would that have been a mess? Wow. Can you imagine? So Jesus says, Lazarus. And only one person perked up. Come forth. Can you imagine whenever he comes out of the tomb and he's still wrapped in his clothes and all the bandages that they wrap them up in like a mummy, and he comes out like this and he says, somebody let him loose. Can you imagine Thomas? Thomas was there. His name is specifically mentioned. Wow. What a great God. But they watched him die. Anybody here in this room ever doubted the Lord? How many has the old devil ever sat on your shoulder and said, are you sure there's really a God? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Most all of us. How many of you have ever the old devil sat on your shoulder and said, there is a God, but how do you know you got the right one with all the other religions in the world? How many have ever had that thought? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, we have his word. We have the book. Oldest book in the Bible. Oldest book in the world. Most used book. Most well-known book. Most published book. We have the words of God. On top of that, we have all kinds of evidences. Don't have time today, but there are hundreds of evidences that would give you absolute assurance that our God is real. But for sake today, Thomas had gotten a chance to watch Jesus feed the 5,000. He'd gotten a chance to watch blind Bartimaeus' eyes get fixed. He'd gotten a chance to watch the lame man healed. He'd gotten a chance now to see Lazarus raised from the dead. And I'm sure Lazarus at that point in time, because he wasn't tested, his faith wasn't tested. Has your faith been tested recently? So he sees Jesus in the garden, and the people came up with sticks and swords, and he left Jesus. He ran, as did all the disciples. They forsook him and fled. They didn't want to die. Why is it they didn't stay with him and say, Lord, we know if you want, you could bring the angels from heaven and destroy these people. Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they listen to him when he said, the Son of Man must die and must be lifted up and die? That meant he must be lifted up on the cross and die to pay the sins of the world. Why is it didn't register with him? No faith. Have you today exercised your faith in Jesus Christ? Because he died for you and you alone. For everybody in the world, one at a time. Wednesday night, we told a little story, the Bible story, true story, but Philip preaching in a citywide revival, and God said, I want you to go down to the desert where there's nobody. He could have argued, but the Bible says he got up and arose and went, the scripture says, and he went to the desert where there was nobody living, and God brought one man. He said, go run to that chariot and tell him about me. God is interested in individual people. He's interested in everybody in this room. He knows your name. Psalm 139 says he knows where you're sitting. He saw you sit down. He saw you stand up to sing. And he saw you sit down and take your Bible out. He's watching you today. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The Lord is watching you because he loves you. You'll notice Thomas is the one that's notorious for the doubter. But if you have your Bible, turn with me, if you would, to Mark 16. I want you to see something here. Mark 16. We don't realize this. Verse number 9. Now, we talked a little bit about the privileges of Thomas. Being there whenever the winds and the waves were stopped. Being there when the 5,000 were fed. Being there whenever Lazarus was raised from the dead. His faith should have been so strong that it could have withstood anything. But it wasn't. So you remember the story we did was just read by Brother Scott that he said, unless I put my fingers in the print of the nails, I'll not believe. Now, when you read that passage, you begin to think, because the disciples were trying to convince him that Jesus was real. We saw him. We talked to him. He was here. He said, unless I see him, unless I put my fingers in the nail prints. You want to know why that was? Because no one had ever put the fingers in the nail prints of a living man. They were all dead. You see, crucifixion killed everybody. Nobody survived. So unless I can put my finger in that hole where the nail was, I won't believe. Unless I can put my finger, because I was there, I saw his side pierced with that sword. Unless I can put my finger, my hand in his side, I will not believe. Now, I don't know how much stronger you could say, I don't believe in Jesus, than Thomas did. After all of his privileges of seeing the power of God. But you'll notice, verse number 9 of Mark 16. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, notice in verse number 13, they went and told it to the residue. In other words, if you'll look in verse number 9, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And she, verse 10, went and told them that had been with him. As they mourned and wept, they all felt Jesus was dead and gone, it was over. And you notice in verse 11, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, what does it say? Believe not. Oh, so when we get to heaven, we can look at Peter and say, doubter. If we could get to heaven and it was normal, which it's not, Thomas would say, hey guys, come on, all the doubters, come on over here. And it would be everybody in heaven. With everybody in this room, we're all doubters. But I want you to understand there is a God in heaven that's real. And there is a Jesus that has died for you. When you write your checks, you put the date on the check, Jesus Christ goes back to 2018, goes back to him. Yet nobody admits that. Nobody thinks much about it. The whole world is built around Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13, and they went and told it, in verse 12, and after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. This was Cleopas and another friend that's mentioned. They didn't believe. whenever he spoke to them, their hearts burned together when he opened the scriptures, and they go running back into Jerusalem to try to talk to him. And when they got there, verse 13, they went and told it unto the residue is the disciples, neither believed they them. Notice verse number 14. Afterward, now this is the same night he's raised from the dead. He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So everybody doubted, not just Thomas. And everybody here doubts, not just Dave Pittman. But I want you to understand, we are the privileged bunch. We get a chance to have a copy of God's word. Most of the world does not. We get a chance to read a copy of God's word and to see the words and the promises of God. And I can remember this morning again, as I do every morning, I got up and I said, Lord, thank you for that day 51 years ago when I sat in my seat and you gave me the courage to stand up. And Lord, as you begin to touch my heart, thank you for touching my heart. Do you realize conviction is a gift? Without conviction, no one can be saved. And the Holy Spirit touched my heart, and I stepped out. And it took the most courage. That was the most difficult thing I ever did in my life, was to step out, that one step. The next step was easy. I started going to the front because I was going to talk to the pastor and get Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin. I walked down the aisle. I said, Lord, thank you for the courage to do that. Thank you for helping me. Lord, thank you for letting me go in that room in the back, get down on my knees and say, Lord, save me. And hearing him say, in my heart, I'll keep my word. I'll bring you to heaven with me. I am so grateful for that day. Have you had that day too? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Has there been a time when you said, Lord Jesus, I give you my soul. I'll trust you to take me to heaven. It requires that in order for you to get to heaven. And everybody here, if you're going to get to heaven, you've got to put your faith and trust in Christ. Notice, if you would, look back over in verse number, John chapter 20. Notice in verse 29, Jesus saith unto them, unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Because you got a chance to put your fingers in the nail prints in my hand and the hole in my side, the scars done there. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's me. I have not seen Jesus Christ, but I believe. That's you if you've put your faith and trust in Christ. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never put my faith and trust in Christ. You don't put it in our church. You don't put it in any church. You don't put it in a baptism. You don't put it in money in the offering plate and say, I think that's going to help me get to heaven. How many of you ever heard somebody, when you've asked them, say, how do you know you're going to get to heaven? Are you sure you're going to get to heaven? And they'll tell you, well, my grandmother was a godly lady. My father was a preacher. None of that matters. It's Jesus and him alone. Have you trusted him with your soul and your sin? If you do that today, you're on your way to heaven. Well, Thomas said, unless I put my finger in his hand and see that nail print, I'll not believe he's alive. Well, notice, if you would, I want you to see, not only was he privileged, but he was practical. It's a practical thing to not believe until you see it. How many of you here from Missouri? It's the show me state. Got it on their license plate. I'm glad I don't live in Missouri. You know why? Show me and I'll not believe until I see it. That's Missouri. The show me state. So the whole state's doubters. You could call them all that. Well, we wouldn't do that if they were here. Wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. But when you put on your tag, the show me state. Wow. But you know what? All of us could live there comfortably. Because we all say, Lord, if you'd just show me, I'd believe. Lord, show me. Lord, show me. Lord, if you just answered this prayer, I'd know you're real. Just show me. So when we look at Gideon, we ought not to look at him as a doubter. Lord, I believe you're going to help me win the victory, but Lord, I'm going to put this fleece out. Would you let it be wet and everything else dry? And the Lord says, okay. And he comes out and he wrings two bowls of water out of that fleece. And he says, wow, that's good. And then the old devil says, what happens if an enemy came in and poured a bucket of water on that? He said, okay, Lord, excuse me, pardon me, but could you do the reverse? Lord, could you let the fleece be dry and all the ground be wet? And the Lord says, okay, I'll do that too. And so he goes out the next morning, takes the fleece, it's pure dry, and everything else has got wet all over it, dew everywhere. Got it between his toe and his sandals, everywhere. And he says, okay, Lord, why is it that the Lord had to do one more thing? The Bible says he took him down to the camp and he heard two men arguing. And one guy says, what is this? And what is this? He says, this is nothing else than Gideon, the man of God that's going to come and take over all the Midianites. We're all going to die. And he said, wow, God is really real. He's going to use me. Why did it take three times to convince Gideon to go to battle? We're all that way. We're practical. Lord, I got some bills to pay. I don't know where the money's coming from. Well, we begin to doubt and say, I don't think you can do it. You know, the Bible says the Lord owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Maybe he's going to sell one of his cows. Could he? Sure he could. Will you trust him to? Well, you're here today and say, well, you know, Lord, I got a wayward son or a wayward wife or a wayward husband or somebody at work that's unsaved and they're hard to deal with. Lord, could you touch their heart? And we begin to say, no, I don't think you can, Lord. And Thomas had to run back in his mind. I watched him say, Lazarus? And I saw him come forth. Without faith, you'll never pray correctly. We're too practical. I haven't seen God, so how can I talk to him? Too practical. Everybody in this room is too practical. How many of you have prayed about something and it happened and the only person that you told about it was God himself? Would you raise your hand? Raise it up. Raise it up. Raise it up. Good enough. Raise it up. It's a testimony there is a God. How many of has God done something for you that you desperately needed, but you hadn't even got a chance to ask him for it? He just saw your need and said, I'll take care of it. And you afterwards realized it. Would you raise your hand? You see, Thomas is just like us. We're just like Thomas. We're just like the disciples, all of them. Unless I see it, I won't believe. But there is a blessing for all of us to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Look, if you would, in John 20, look in verse number 29, the last phrase, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Are you in that group? You have not seen, yet you have believed. You're going to have to get rid of your practicality and trust the Lord. Thomas did that. Do you know the Bible says, I want you to watch the events here. Notice if you would, in verse number 25, I will not believe unless I can put my fingers. Now let's read it again, verse 25. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my fingers into the print of the nails. It wasn't good enough to just see it. I got to put my finger in it to make sure it's real. It's not painted on him. That's a real doubter. But that's all of us. So notice what happens. Verse 27. Last part of verse 6, 26. Peace be unto you. Jesus appears. He says, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas. Isn't it amazing? There's 11 guys there, or 10 guys there, and he looks at Thomas. He's the 12th guy, and he looks at Thomas and says, hey, Thomas. You know why? He knew he was a doubter. And did you know the Lord Jesus knows when we're doubters? He knows when you don't have confidence in him. He knows it. Look with me if you would. Verse 27. Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. He said, Thomas, come here. Bring your hand and put it into the nail prints of my hand. He wasn't there physically when he heard him say, unless I put my fingers in his nail print. But he said, look, I want you to come and believe. There's proof. Notice what he says. And be not and thrust it into my side. He opened up his tunic and said, come here and put your finger in my side and feel the nail, the sword print or the spear print whenever it went into my side. It's healed up. I've got the scar. Notice, if you would, in verse number 28, verse 27, the last phrase, thrust it into my side and be not faithless but believing. Do you understand? God wants all of us to throw away our practicality and to trust him. Today, are you carrying a weight? And yet you haven't got the courage to trust him. Notice, if you would, in verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He never touched Jesus. He just believed him. He didn't take his finger and put it into the nail print. He just believed his words. Thomas, come and see. Lord, I don't need to. My Lord and my God. He trusted the Lord. Have you trusted the Lord today for an illness? Have you trusted the Lord today for the strength to get through an illness? For the strength to get through bereavement? For the strength to get through a relationship issue? Have you trusted the Lord today? Have you gotten to the point where you said, Lord, I'll just trust you to take care of it however you see fit? You know, sometimes God doesn't correct things, but he gives us the strength to go through them. Either way, we learn to trust him. And I want to remind you that Thomas here had the privileges of proof and of power of God, but he was too practical to trust the Lord. But I want you to also see at the very end of it that Thomas procured his faith. He trusted the Lord. He actually put his faith in the Lord at the end. You'll notice, and I want you to see this, it comes from us reading and hearing the Word of God. Did you know the Bible says, take your Bible and turn to Romans. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Look with me if you would. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Everybody's not put their faith and trust in the Lord. Notice if you would. For Isaiah saith, Isaiah, Lord, who hath believed our report? Lord, everybody's doubters. Verse 17. So then faith or trust cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order to strengthen your faith, you've got to get what God said about something. You have to put your trust in the Lord. He says, look, go to your closet and get on your knees and pray to your Father in heaven in the solitude of your closet and see if he doesn't answer publicly. He says in Malachi, trust me and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. There is a God in heaven that gives us all kinds of promises, 7,700 and some odd of them. Have you trusted any of them today? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord? You'll notice it can be increased, your faith, by seeing things. Now, I want you to understand, you've got to hear the Word of God. You've got to open your eyes to the Word of God and see what God says about something. Once you hear the Word of God and reminded God can do this, God can do this, I know he can do this, then you can pray with a little bit more faith. But then there comes a point in time where you need to see it. Like here, Thomas, he said, come and see. Come and put your hand in my side. We learn to trust him. We have to remember to see those things. I want you to take your Bible, and if you would, and turn me to Psalm. I want you to see this. Notice with me, if you would. Psalm 77. Here's where faith comes. And I want you to see the psalmist and his lack of faith, his discouragement, and I want you to learn to trust the Lord this morning. Trust the Lord with your soul. Trust the Lord with your struggles. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? How many have ever felt like the Lord wasn't listening to you when you pray? Anybody here? All of us. The old devil wants us to feel that way. You know, God can't always be good to us on everything. He can't answer every prayer. He can, but he doesn't. He ought not. Because how many of you have ever asked for something and you're glad you didn't get it? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Raise it up. Aren't you glad there's a good God that doesn't do that? You know, I remember this. I'm going to tell you about it in a minute, but I want you to read this first so we can put the two together. In verse number 8, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Wow, now there's a doubter if there ever was one. It's probably when some tragedy had happened in his life and he was praying to God and it seemed like God was a long way away, even though God heard every word of it. In Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 10, Daniel gets a burden for understanding a part of Scripture and what's going to happen to the children of Israel. And he gets on his knees and he prays. And he prays for 21 days and no answer. And finally, the answer comes and an angel shows up and says, look, God heard your prayer the first day, but the devil hindered me. And I couldn't get your answer here. The devil hinders a lot of our prayers. But will we hang in there long enough to trust that the Lord is going to answer your prayer? He is going to meet the need of your heart. Do you trust him? Keep your finger in Psalm 77 and turn to Job, verse 13. Keep your finger in Psalm 77. Turn to Job 13. Now, very few people have gone through the struggles of Job. He lost all of his wealth, lost all of his children, lost his health in a moment of time. And this was his response. Verse 15, Job 13, 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. What a Christian. What one that says, Lord, I know God. Even if he slays me, I'm going to trust him. And that's what the three Hebrew children said. Oh, king, you can throw us in that fiery furnace and we may die, but our God's still going to deliver us. We're going to heaven. And yet what happens? They get thrown in the fiery furnace and God himself comes and takes care of them. You see, miracles like that, we read about them in scriptures, that they don't happen anymore. But I'm going to tell you about one that does. Notice, if you would, back over to Psalm 77. Verse number 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Anybody felt like that? Verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. I just don't have the connection with God that I want. But he says this. But I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. The right hand is the hand of blessing. He said, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and remember the goodness of God. So I'm preparing this message and I'm beginning to think, you know, Lord, what can I do to remember all of your goodness that I know you are there? Oh, I can't tell you the number of times. The direct answers to prayer. I remember when Jeremy was born and he was the opposite of diabetic because he was secreting enough insulin from my wife, and the doctors looked at me and said, when he was born, I was so happy and Susan was doing well. And after the C-section, and the doctors looked at me and said, you can't touch him, but I just want you to know if he makes it through the night, he'll be okay. And I said, what? If he makes it through the night, if you can pray, it'd be a good time to pray. What? I remember going home and getting down on my knees beside my bed and saying, Lord, we just lost a little girl before that. I said, Lord, if you want this little boy, you can have him. But Lord, I sure would like to keep one. I sure would like to keep Jeremy. And I remember praying that and going to sleep a little later, getting up the next morning, going to the hospital. Is he still alive? Is he still here? And the nurse acted like there was nothing wrong. I wanted to kill her. And I said, you know, what's going on? She said, oh, he turned around last night about 7 o'clock. That was 40-something years ago. I'm reminding myself of that. There's a God in heaven that exactly answered according to the right time. I remember when Susan and I were in the hospital and we're thinking about, oh my goodness, what's next, when she lost her leg, the first leg, and we were in the hospital and we were just kind of holding hands and trying to think about what the next step would be and how I was going to take care of her and how life was going to be. And my phone rings and it's a guy that we didn't know anything about and said, hey, I got a wheelchair, you want it? It's an electric wheelchair. And I remember looking up at the Lord and said, Lord, you got this. I think back, I remember. Notice the words. Verse 11, I'll remember the works of the Lord. Let me tell you one that affects everybody in this room. You know, we'd like to be able to move to a new site and have our ball fields there and have more parking and just have an easier way to minister to people. And we prayed about that. And years ago, we put an offer on a piece of property in Ashburn. You know the story. Does anybody know how much we originally offered? Does anybody remember? Does anybody remember? It was $7 million. Does anybody remember what the Lord did? We came to the day of closing, close. They did an appraisal. And you know, the downturn of 2008 was for Temple Baptist Church. Because they did the appraisal in the bottom of that downturn. And they said, this land's not worth $7 million. It's worth $6 million. You know what the guy said? Oh, man. I'll never forget it. He said it was a real estate investment trust of a bunch of Teamsters in Washington. And they said, we bought it for a lot more than this. We're going to take a haircut on this. I'm pretty familiar with haircuts. I know what a haircut is. They said, we're going to take a haircut on this. And they said, okay, we'll drop it $1 million. And I went, wow, Lord, you can do anything. And then he took that same little piece of dirt and he's multiplied it how many times? When the Lord is in something, if the Lord says, will you trust me? There's nothing impossible for God. So when I go over the graveyard across the street, I look at that grave where supposedly my wife is, and I rejoice. I'm seeing you soon. The Bible says, behold, we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every sin. Let us run with patience the race that is set before me. Do you have the faith to believe that God keeps his word? If not, remember back. Remember his victories. Look at Psalm 77 and we'll close. Verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I want to encourage somebody else to have their faith strong. So the 11 disciples, they looked at Thomas and said, he's alive, he's alive. No, he's not, not unless I can touch him. And they see him, and Jesus Christ sees Thomas, and he says, you know, put your finger in my hand and see the nail, feel the nail. And he says, my Lord and my God. And so all 12 of them reached the entire world. They went everywhere talking about how Jesus could do anything. You know why our world is not reached? We don't believe. If we did, we would talk everywhere we go about how wonderful Jesus is. I just want to encourage you today. If we believed that Jesus could do anything, when you prayed, you would pray in a lot more power. I don't ever remember going to my dad. My dad was a wealthy man before he left. And I never remember going to my dad saying, Dad, could you get me a new football, ever thinking he would not. I knew he had the money, and I knew he loved me. There's a God in heaven that has the money, and he loves you. And he has the blood of Christ, which is what it takes to pay your sin debt. Will you trust him? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Are you a Thomas today? We all are. The difference is, will you trust Jesus Christ with your problems, with your burdens, with your soul? He loves you today. He knows your name. He knows where you're sitting. He holds out his hand. Will you say, my Lord and my God? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. The Lord Jesus wants you to come to him just like you are. Maybe here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Will you trust him? Maybe you're here today and you doubt that God can or will do something. And if he decides not to answer your prayer, he'll certainly give you the strength to do what you need to go through with grace and mercy. Have you remembered back to the things of the Lord, what God has done? Folks, I'm the biggest doubter in this room many times. After reading this verse, this passage is for me. Dave Pittman, the doubter. There's a God in heaven that loves you. Will you trust him this morning? Will you pray in faith to restore whatever thing is in your life? We're going to stand in just a moment, have a word of prayer. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you let me pray for you this morning? Nobody's looking, just me. Would you let me pray for you this morning? Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I'm thinking about it. I've never put my soul in the hands of Christ. I'm thinking about it. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand all over the building? Just put it up and right back down. I want to trust Christ. I just haven't done it yet. I'm just not sure. Raise it up quickly and put it right back down. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've trusted Christ, but I sure have doubted him this week. I've got some struggles, and I just didn't believe, and I don't believe God can take care of it. I know he can, but I'm not trusting him. Would you pray for me that my faith would get stronger? Would you slip up your hand all over the building, all over the building? Yes, all over, yes, yes. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I do know you. I do know your promises. And I want to, again, lay something out before you. Will you trust him this morning? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. Increase our faith. Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, who drops the price of a piece of property, $1 million, in a moment of time? Lord, you've done miraculous things to show us your will. Could you do it again? Lord, would you do it again for yourself, your own sake? Lord, would you settle some of the marriage issues? Or Lord, some of the relationship issues? Lord, would you settle some of the job issues? Lord Jesus, would you settle some of the health issues this morning? Would you reach down and use your mighty right hand to answer the prayers of the people in this room? Speak to hearts today. In your name we pray.